Well, shalom and welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. This will be show number 285 for March 2nd, 2015. If you've been listening to the program for the past few weeks, you know that I am presently spending the month of March in Yerushalayim. Most of the month I'll be back on the 25th or the 26th, and I've prepared four programs, this one and three others, so that there won't be a gap in your listening pleasure. Now, this is a rather unique presentation that you'll be hearing this evening. This is a two-hour discussion and presentation of the music of Solomon Zoltzer. It was from an album, or actually a cassette, that came out in 1991. That's 24 years ago. I've never played this on the program, but it seems to me that it's in 24 years, it's about time that you heard this. I will point out to you that there are choirs, and rather beautiful choirs, but I just want to give you a heads up on that. It's called the Zemel Choir, and the conductor is Malcolm Singer. This was recorded in England. There will be two cantors. The Friday evening service will be sung by cantor Lawrence Fine, and the Torah service for Shabbat and festivals will be sung by cantor Brian Kesselman. The narration was written and spoken by Victor Tunkel. The album is called Solomon Zoltzer Synagogue Music Reborn. Let me just read a little bit from the liner notes. Solomon Zoltzer, 1804 to 1890. Okay, that was 86 years. He was born in Honems in the province of Vorarlberg, Austria. He was appointed chazan of the new Vienna synagogue at the age of 22. He caused a sensation in that community and soon in the wider musical world by his superb voice, musicality, and the expressiveness in prayer. And as time went on, by his achievement as a composer and restorer of the traditional music of the service, he notated the ancient modes and melodies, removing tasteless accretions and phrasing the Hebrew correctly and meaningfully. He instituted a well-trained choir to sing in four-part harmony in the best style of the day. Zoltzer was the first synagogue composer to publish a complete book of music for the prayers of the entire year, the Shir Tzion. That was in 1840 and also in 1865. His fame spread throughout Europe, with chazanim and choir leaders coming to study with him, while his services in Vienna, then at the center of European musical culture, attracted the leading singers, musicians, and composers of the time, and in particular Schubert. But his prestige and creativity, he raised the status of the chazan to a new level, and saved the traditional service from the excesses of the extreme reformers. He is well called, quote, the father of modern synagogue music. Okay, that's in the liner notes. I'll let you be the judge of whether you feel that way about Zoltzer once you hear his story. And it's really a most wonderful and unique story. And I'm pleased to be able to offer it to you. So without any further ado, let's go to the album, the cassette, and let's hear this this wonderful exposition of Zoltzer.
Oh, Tovu Oholecho Yaakov. No better words could be found for the motto, the epitaph, of Solomon Zulzer. These words, which we say on entering the synagogue, in Jewish understanding mean, "How lovely are your houses of prayer and their worship, O Israel." Zulzer was the chazan and composer, before all others, who tried to make this ideal a musical reality, to raise to a new beauty the words and song of the traditional service. He was the first person to write down and publish the ancient modes and melodies, the first to record the cantillation notes of the Torah and the books of the Hebrew Bible, the first to successfully introduce harmony into the music of the service, the first to publish a complete book of music for all the prayers of the year. And he inspired a whole generation of synagogue composers who came after him. As a singer, though only in the synagogue, he was briefly at the center of European musical life. Above all, Zulzer gave synagogue music a new sense of direction, a new pride in itself, restoring the best of the old and composing new settings worthy of the words and their meaning. We heard his Matovu. Here now, for the eve of Sabbath service, is his Lecha Dodi. The incoming Sabbath is greeted like a bride welcomed into her new home.
Thank you.
Solomon Zultzer was born in 1804 in the little Austrian town of Hohenems. As a child, he had a clear, pure soprano voice, and this led him to sing and study with the local chazan, Solomon Eichberg. He had a traditional Jewish education at Yeshiva in Switzerland and a formal musical education at Karlsruhe. At the age of 16, Zultzer returned to Hohenems to become the town chazan. When he was 21, his community gave him 8 weeks' leave of absence to visit Vienna. He stayed there for 65 years. His superb voice, a high baritone, and his feeling for the prayers captivated the community of Vienna. They had only recently been allowed to open a new synagogue in the Seitenstettengasse and to appoint a rabbi, the outstanding preacher Isaac Noah Mannheimer. There was no question of letting this sensational new chazan return to provincial obscurity. What did the young Zultzer find in Vienna? In the general musical scene, this was the city of Haydn, of Mozart, of Beethoven, of Schubert, of Johann Strauss, and a whole galaxy of glittering talent, the musical capital of the world at its greatest moment. The sophisticated Jewish community aspired to that culture. At that time, Jews were only allowed to live in Vienna by government permission. Those who had that permission included some established and wealthy families who went to concerts and held their own soirees where some of the leading musicians of the day performed. But when those same Jews went to synagogue, it must have been something of an ordeal for them. The traditional service was disorderly, noisy, in poor Hebrew, lacking musicality and decorum. The ancient prayer chants and melodies were mostly submerged under new compositions in a tasteless and florid imitation of the Baroque composers. As for performance, in many synagogues, the chazan was accompanied by two other voices, a bass and a boy singer. These two added their own unrehearsed and improvised harmony, or even snatches of popular songs, to give variety to the recitative. We know from contemporary accounts that the effect was often dissonant and vulgar. For many sensitive congregants, the only way to improve the service was to be drastic. Total reform, a fresh beginning. Already in Berlin and North Germany, some synagogues had done away altogether with the chazan, abandoned the prayer modes and ancient melodies, abolished the cantillation of the Torah, mostly ceased to use Hebrew, introduced an organ, commissioned Christian composers to write German chorales, and restructured the entire service around the sermon. One synagogue even installed a church bell to summon its congregation. What did the newly arrived Chazan Zulzer think of this confused situation? He later wrote,
"I found chaos in Vienna, a maze of opposing opinions. Most important, I felt the need to fight the idea that saw a complete break with our past tradition as being the best way to reform public worship. I was convinced that we had to go back to the tradition and restore it in a dignified and artistically correct manner. The older worshippers would hear familiar and cherished tunes. The young ones were to be made receptive to them. The Jewish liturgy must remain Jewish."
Zulzer therefore set himself several tasks.
"I see it as my duty to adopt as far as possible the traditional tunes bequeathed to us, to cleanse them of later additions and tasteless embellishments, to restore their original purity, and to reconstruct them in accordance with the text and with the rules of harmony, to compose new settings where before there was no fixed tradition and only profane tunes which desecrated the holiness of the service, and to standardize the pronunciation of Hebrew."
For these purposes, Zulzer made his first innovation. He formed and trained to a high standard a four-part choir of boys and men, teaching them to read and sing from music. Let us continue with his Friday evening service. Zulzer observed that one of the few ancient traditional tunes of that service is the mode used for Vayechulu and Magen Avot. Zulzer was the first person to record this prayer in musical notation. Later, he set the congregational response for four-part choir. The whole is a good example of his approach to restoring the traditional recitative and to giving structure and harmony to what had for centuries been a disorganized free-for-all. Vayechulu ha-shamayim v'ha-aretz v'chol tzeva'am. And so on the seventh day, God finished his creation, the heavens, the earth, and all their throng, and he rested on the seventh day. For us to appreciate what Zulzer was trying to do and how far he succeeded, we need to hear how composed synagogue music sounded before his arrival. The Chazanim of Central Europe in the 18th century brought into the synagogue art music in the Rococo style, which they probably heard from street musicians. The resulting cultural mix-up seems to have been enjoyed by some congregations. Perhaps they found it daringly modern. To our ears, as to Zulzer's, it sounds intrusive and incongruous. We offer two typical examples. The first piece is believed to be by the Chazan Wolf Singer of Prosnitz, Moravia. He has set in his best Baroque manner just five words from the Friday evening service. V'ahavosecho al tosir mimenu liolomim, asking God to never withhold his love from us. The second of these early compositions is by the 18th century Berlin Chazan Aharon Bier. It is the Hodu from the Hallel Psalms for the Festival of Sukkot. Interestingly, Bier does start with the ancient traditional tune, but he then proceeds to dress it up in the new clothes. We have arranged it as it might have been sung by a synagogue trio, Chazan, boy singer, and bass, of the 1770s. Hodu Ladoshem Kitov. Give thanks to God, for he is good, and forever is his kindness.
Laolam hasto, laolam hasto, laolam hasto.
In trying to modernize the ancient melody, Beer has made all the mistakes which Zulzer later avoided. The marriage of ancient and modern is a complete mismatch. The writing is instrumental, not vocal. The words are subordinated to the music. The Hebrew is indifferently phrased and stressed. The congregation is excluded. And as art music, the style is at least one generation out of date. By contrast, what Zulzer did is in the best style of his own day, with complete integrity, words and music, meaning and devotion. There is no showiness, no meaningless frills or decoration. He is never trivial, but gives us always a sense of the sacred. No wonder that Zulzer's music came as a revelation of what could be achieved, and that it swept away all these earlier attempts at modernizing. To return to Zulzer's service. On Sabbath and festival mornings, when the Torah is read, the scroll is taken from the ark with great honor and ceremony. The very approach to the ark is preceded by prayers and affirmations of faith. The processions are accompanied by psalms. Surprisingly, there are no ancient or traditional melodies for any of these ceremonies. Almost every synagogue composer has therefore supplied settings. But Zulzer was the first to publish any. And to this day, his tune for Ki Mitzion is arguably the best known piece of composed synagogue music. Indeed, for congregations everywhere, this is the traditional tune. Zulzer's Ein Kamocha, Vayehi B'Nesoa, Adoshem Adoshem, and Shema and Echod from the festival morning service.
And come on.
The scroll is opened. The portion of the week is read from the Torah. The scroll is then taken back to the ark in triumphant procession to the accompaniment of Psalm 148, Yahalalu Hodo al Eretz. Let all praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. The procession finally reaches the ark. The Torah scroll is reverently restored within. The chazan leads the congregation in the Eitz Chaim, a poignant farewell and a plea for our own restoration. Bring us back to thee so that we may return, renew our days as in ancient times. The concluding hymn for Sabbaths and festivals is the familiar Adon Olam, although we should remind ourselves that before Zulzer's day, the traditional service didn't have a concluding hymn and just broke up in disorder. The Adonolam poem is from medieval Spain, so not surprisingly, it has a rhythm influenced by Arabic poetry. However, Sulzer has totally ignored its natural pulse and put it into 3/4 time. But then this was for the city of Johannstrasse, so what could be more fitting?
Okay, this is the end of the first side of the cassette, and during the second hour, you'll hear the remaining part of this commentary about Solomon Sulzer. As I stated, I've had this for 24 years. I've listened to it several times. I've been fascinated by the information. And I think it's important to know the influence of Solomon Sulzer on Chazanis, and I hope that you found it of interest to those of you who are listening to, who have chosen to listen to this. So I appreciate hearing some feedback from you. You know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. But stay tuned for the second part of this exposition on Sulzer.